This is Cool Science Radio. I'm Lynn Ware Peake, here with John Wells. What if you could have a wearable device that could analyze your skiing? How you're edging, what your pressure is like on each ski. Are you carving your turns or sliding your turns? JW, do you carve or slide?
I carve.
Of course you do. All the way through the turn, right?
Perfect.
Those tails never slide. But yeah, neither do mine. Carve is the ultimate ski wearable device that provides a digital coach to talk to you while you're skiing. How about that? It's one of the most successful Kickstarter campaigns ever, and it was catapulted into the media spotlight. Now this wearable technology is taking off. Well, it's already taken off in Europe. Jamie Grant is the co-founder and CEO of Carve, and he joins us now from, I believe, Innsbruck, Austria, where there is maybe not quite as much snow as here in Park City, but a lot of snow. Jamie Grant, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Hello.
Great to have you.
Great to be here.
So first of all, let's get it out of the way. Which ski resort has more snow, Park City or one near you in Innsbruck?
So I think St. Antoine's had about 2 meters of snow.
Oh, goodness.
Two, 3 weeks. I don't know how you're doing compared to that.
Oh, well, you know.
Somebody in the Alps got 22 feet.
Yeah, I did see pictures. I did see pictures from Lech in Austria, and there was more snow than we've gotten here in Park City. But the snow that we've gotten here is deep, it's plentiful, and of course, it's Utah powder. So, you know, it speaks for itself.
Quality and quantity.
Yeah. So, Jamie, let's get into this incredible wearable technology that you have in part invented. It goes beneath your ski liner. It's negligible inside of your ski boot, but it analyzes everything that you do on your skis. Can you explain it in a little more detailed way?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, you're pretty much there. Essentially, what the product is, there's two parts of it. There's a physical product, which is a thin sensor that measures pressure and motion. And the sensor fits underneath your boot liner. So you take out the liner from your boot, you put in the sensor, and then you put your liner back on. And then it really measures everything you can imagine about your skiing, which is, first of all, the motion of your foot, of your ski as well. And that combined with the pressure under the foot. And we have 48 pressure sensors, so we understand exactly how the pressure is moving under the foot as you ski. And we take all that information to essentially understand your skiing technique and to help you improve. So we do that in two ways using the Carve app. The first is every time you finish a run, we analyze your technique and we give you an IQ score. So it's the IQ score for that, sorry, the ski IQ for that run. So for instance, typical is about 100, a top instructor might be 140. That's one way we help you. And the other way is we help you by giving you real-time feedback. So if you want to do an intense lesson experience, we use sounds and verbal cues as you're skiing. So as soon as you complete a turn, if you're leaning too far back, we give you little tips such as lean forward, feel the weight of your shins, just at the end of the turn. We can't do that every turn, so we also have sound effects, kind of gaming sounds, to kind of encourage you to become a better skier. So even within a run, you can actually start improving your technique rather than having to wait at the end of the run to maybe speak to a coach or watch a video of yourself.
Jamie, I would have to believe that the sweet spot of the market for you would be the recreational skier. Are you going after just the recreational, or will there also be focus on the competitive?
Yes, yeah, so we did start working with a lot of the professionals when we first started with the product. So we worked with Dave Riding from the UK, as well as a lot of the Dave Riding's clients here, as well as a lot of the what would you call them? Peacock racers. And what we really want, so although we took all that learning, we really wanted to create, as you sort of came up with, experience for the everyday skier. So, yeah, on the recreational side, someone that maybe cares about their technique. Quite often we have instructors that use the product because they want to understand exactly the data behind how they're skiing, and then think about how they can improve their own skiing. But it's not so much for the races. Our focus has always been for the skiers that really care about their technique on the average trail, rather than just the racing.
Okay, well, Jamie, if you're starting out and you're a recreational skier, will you be able to put yourself into a grouping of beginner, intermediate, expert, so that the type of feedback that you're getting from the device is tailored to your level?
Yeah, so the first thing we always say is that you really shouldn't be using Carve if you haven't skied before, and that applies for at least the first week of skiing. So it's very important that people have a good feeling for navigating the mountain, understanding how they put their boots on. All of that is obviously things we can't help with. After that, Carve starts as kind of, I guess what you call the kind of, yeah, the medium beginner, not complete beginner. And then it really goes up all the way to expert skier, so instructor skier that wants feedback on the technique. And we have different, we don't necessarily select a skill level, but there's progressive levels that within the app that get more harder as you ski, and there's more detail in the app that becomes more relevant as you're a more sophisticated skier.
This is so interesting. If you're just joining us, our guest is Jamie Grant. He's the co-founder and CEO of Carve. It's a wearable ski technology that analyzes your skiing. And Jamie, as I ski down the hill, and I think many of us, even though I did mention before that John and I, we carve all the way through our turns, or at least we think we do. And this is the thing, right? A lot of people start off carving the turn pretty well, but then they slide their tails around and never really finish out the turn. And so this would be something, Carve can tell us this, like how long we're actually holding our edge through the turn, and then how we can improve on that. I guess John and I might find out that we only hold our edges about, you know, 10 or 15% of the turn.
Yeah, it's really interesting you say that, because we actually have a metric called edge duration, which essentially is the percentage of the edge, of the turn of which you hold the edge on. So it's exactly picking up on what you mentioned.
Oh, well, that's good to know. And then along those same lines, for the longest time, I thought that, you know, when I was maybe a more intermediate skier, I thought, oh, it's just your downhill ski that you need to edge on, and your uphill ski just kind of floats through. But my children, who grew up as ski racers, have informed me that, no, Mom, that's not actually the case. You're supposed to be using both of your edges, uphill and downhill. So that would is that another thing that Carve could tell me?
Yeah, exactly. So that's so we call that edge similarity. And so the way Carve works is we break skiing down into balance, edging, rotary, and pressure. And that was really from our, because we actually work with the PSA instructors to understand sort of how to approach the problem. And both of those things you described are the edging. So as you first mentioned, it was the edge duration. The other one is edge similarity. And what that looks for is that you're tilting the edges together. So what you described is where if you just tilt the outside edge, then you essentially you aren't tilting the edges together, and then you just make an A-frame with the ski, and essentially that's bad technique, and Carve picks it up as a reduced value in that edge similarity, and that impacts your skiing IQ. So that kind of takes it right from the basics all the way up to the top of the pyramid, which is the ski IQ value.
Jamie, I would think I would really benefit from this. I was just kidding with Lynn. I try to carve. I have good intentions, and things seem to work out pretty good in the beginning. But as towards the end, you know, the last runs, or if I'm really on something steep, I start sliding a little bit. And Lynn, I have always taken that you know, just a one ski with the turn. And as you said, your kids who were racers say, no, you have to have both on there. But I'm kind of one ski, so yeah, I think I'd get a lot of benefit from this type of thing. Especially what intrigues me is the real-time instruction. So, Jamie, I think your product cost about $250 for one level, and then a little bit more for another. Is that correct?
So right now we have a discount of $229.
Yeah.
And so that'll be running to the end of the month.
So when you consider what it costs for a private lesson at Deer Valley, and you're getting feedback after, or you know, sometimes they're telling you as you ski, but to have that real time feedback while you're in it, and you're focused, and you're getting it through your headphones or through your whatever, it just seems to make more sense, doesn't it, Lynn?
Absolutely. So, Jamie, go ahead.
Sure. It's interesting to say that because we got really excited by the idea of real-time feedback, and we spoke to a lot of instructors, and some of the most advanced ones right now are actually using radios to coach people as they ski down the hill, with the idea that rather than just kind of waiting to the end of the run, instructors can actually give the people the feedback every single turn or every few turns, and that's the kind of the experience that we basically tried to create. That idea of, you know, rather than just having to segment your instructions across the whole run, it's that like near instant feedback, which means you can kind of rapidly accelerate the improvement of your technique. And that's kind of what got us quite excited, and that's kind of what we tried to hone in on when we designed the experience.
Who do you compete with, Jamie?
So right now we don't really have any other products in the market that are doing the same as us. I think, essentially, you know, right now, if you want to kind of teach yourself to be a better skier, your only kind of options are obviously having your friends speak to you and give you tips, or you can read books. But, you know, obviously you've always got instructors, you can have like a very intense lesson, but if you kind of want to get some sort of self-teaching, then I think, at the moment we're just competing with books and video analysis with friends, so you can get someone to video yourself, and then you can look at that. But that's still with that, there's still that big kind of time difference between making the action when you're skiing and then seeing the what you're doing and getting the advice.
Jamie, when I was preparing for this conversation, I reached out to Tiger Shaw, who's the president and CEO of U.S. Ski and Snowboard here in Park City, and I asked him if he heard about Carve and, any thoughts that he had on the matter. And he said that they do work with companies that make devices like this. He really thinks it's going to take off. I also asked for his permission to use his comments. So he said, we're very interested in these technologies, and we're trying to determine how we can use them to get an edge, no pun intended, on the competition. Have you worked with Tiger?
Yeah, there's definitely. So we after we launched our Kickstarter, we were actually invited out by the U.S. ski team and the PSA to ski with them in their camp in Mammoth, and that was 2016, May 2016. And since then, we've been pretty close contact. So I don't know how much I can discuss, basically, but essentially, yeah, we ski with them then, and we've kind of kept a close contact. As I say, I think, so for us, we could have always gone into the very advanced way of doing it. We could have just been a company which gave people, like top people, you know, that raw data, because the very top people just want the raw data. But what really excited us was trying to create something that could help people, from the average skier right up to the top skier that's not going to buy $10,000 analysis project. We want to kind of be in that mid-level where we can help many, many people improve their technique. We have been working with the top people, and they've really, I have to admit, they've been very helpful with us to try and help us improve the product. They've always taken the feedback. But overall, our strategy has always been to try and think, you know, what can we, how can we make a better teaching product, which is why we work quite closely with the demo team for the PSA, try and understand what parts of CARB we can improve to make it better at teaching people to ski. Average people.
Yeah. Our guest on Cool Science Radio is Jamie Grant. He is the co-founder and CEO of Carve. It's Carve Ski Technology. You can find it at usa.getcarve.com, and that's Carve without an E, so just getcarve, C-A-R-V. carve.com. It's very interesting, a nice website that you have as well, talking about, you know, this is really artificial intelligence and machine learning applied. What is your background and also your other co-founder's background in terms of the tech world?
Yeah, so we kind of, we definitely have quite tech engineering background, slash science. So I did physics at Oxford in the UK as my undergraduate, and that kind of gave me a good understanding of physics and the mechanics of skiing and of everything. And then for my PhD, I did a PhD in financial statistics, which had a specialization in machine learning, where I was essentially looking at financial data and then using machine learning processes to understand how better you could make profit, essentially, from financial markets. And during that time, when I was doing my PhD and I was using machine learning on those papers, I started to think, wouldn't it be interesting to use these machine learning processes, but in the real world? And that's when I kind of came up with the idea for Carve, because I thought, obviously amazing sensors are available, and using the data from the sensors, we can actually understand a lot about someone's skiing. But then to make that data useful, you have to use machine learning to interpret the data. So to work out the mistake you're making, so say you're making some mistake as you're skiing, and then to give that person the correct feedback to improve that problem. And the interesting thing is, especially now making Carve, is that we can use that to we can use those two elements. We can use machine learning at those two points. That's my background. That's kind of what led me to Carve. My co-founder, he was in mechanical engineering, so he did an undergraduate and a master's in mechanical engineering. So really kind of the details of how materials work, how they fit together. But then during his undergraduate, he got really excited by coding and development. And that's when he started making apps. And then that kind of brought us together, because he was making apps and I had a kind of idea. And with that sort of that knowledge base, we started working on the software for Carve. But then the fact that he had the mechanical engineering really helped us design a physical product. Because, Carve isn't just virtual. You actually have a physical product measuring data. It's kind of a combination of skills that fitted together, really.
That's so cool. Okay, Park City kids. So you grow up skiing, you love skiing, you want your life to be skiing. Well, just go get an undergraduate in physics or mechanical engineering and then your PhD, and then you too can start a company like Jamie has here. This is a cool story. I guess I should ask, though, did you grow up skiing, Jamie?
So I started skiing quite late. I didn't ski until I was 18. It's a bit harder in the UK to go skiing. So I started skiing on university ski trips, and then when I was studying physics. And then, I kept on skiing all the way through. And then, I was a latecomer.
Yeah. Jamie, how do you get your products to market?
So right now we're focused on direct-to-consumer. So we essentially make it in China. I spent about 2 years in China with my co-founder, developing the product, and we still have a team in China, in Shenzhen. So we design it, make it in Shenzhen, and then we ship it sort of worldwide, but we always do direct consumer, so we always do it through the website. We're looking to do distribution going forward, but for us to move as fast as we can, we've always found it better to be the direct consumer, so you'll make the Carve units, and then they'll be in consumers' hands within maybe 2 or 3 weeks sometimes.
Well, no one's going to tell the story better than you directly. And that's a great way to start out. And then over time, as people hear about the technology, you can start moving to other reseller-type relationships or distributorships. It almost also seems to be a natural for an OEM-type agreement with a boot manufacturer, where they would embed their technology in the boots that they sell. Are you working on that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're very excited to be working on that. We're still speaking to partners to work out who we're going to work with, but we're quite late in stage negotiations, and essentially we're very excited because it's a very nice user experience. It kind of, you know, you're in the shop and it's just an upgrade to your booth to be sort of directly embedded in the booth. And it's where we see the kind of the long term large growth in the company is in partnerships such as that.
And you have the sensors in the footbed so that you can ascertain if the person is putting enough pressure in the front or is laying back too much. I assume there's a gyroscope in there somewhere. Is there?
Yes. So when I say we measure motion, that's a combination of three sensors. So you've got a gyroscope, which measures the rate of rotation, and you've got an accelerometer, which measures acceleration, and then you have a magnetometer, which is essentially a digital compass. And each of those measures each of those metrics in three dimensions. So you have nine sensors. And then you combine all of the nine sensors to give you a very accurate motion vector, like the direction of your ski, basically. And then that leads into all the other algorithms so you can analyze techniques.
Wow. I would say, Jamie, the thing that surprised me is to go on your website and to hear some of the, I watched a little video and some of the testimonials, because you do have a lot of professional skiers, and not just ski instructors, but people who are making appearances on the World Cup using the technology. And of course, there are so many little details to skiing at the most advanced levels, even. And the accelerometer, for example, could tell you whether you're scrubbing speed coming out of the turn or accelerating coming out of the turn, which, you know, I mean, talk about that a little bit, the people that are using it that are already very, already professional skiers.
I mentioned that we started working with professionals, and the interesting thing about professionals is they always want the kind of the raw data. Mm-hmm. What we do with them is we say, okay, what are you thinking about when you're skiing? And then, for instance, they might say, how my edges are moving together. Or they might say, actually, that's one of the things we look at, is essentially how you're accelerating through the turn. And then we kind of have a think, and then we basically come up with algorithms to recognize the things they care about. And then we make a special kind of version of the app so they can actually play with those metrics. And at the same time, we also are looking at that and looking at how those metrics change for the not-so-good skiers, and then we see how we can use that in our overall algorithm. So that's kind of how we work with professionals. We tend to find that the professionals obviously want as close to the raw data as possible, so they don't want the overall advice. They might just want the number. They might just want to hear the acceleration number every time they do a turn, or the edge angle every time they do a turn. Rather than a kind of, you need to edge more or less. Because they're essentially, when we work with people, they tend to be more data-driven side of the market.
Yeah. So, Jamie, I don't know about you, but I've cursed at Siri. I've cursed at Alexa when they just keep talking when I don't really want them to. And so I'm wondering about that aspect. I mean, you mentioned that there are these certain gaming little sounds that are really motivational, inspirational that you use. But could you address that thing a little bit about how much someone's going to be talking to you as you're skiing down the slope?
Yeah, exactly. So you have to be very smart about when you give feedback, and you have to think very carefully about the feedback that you're giving. And you want it to be helpful, but it also has to be very succinct. And you can't keep saying it every turn. So in the early version of the product, we used to give feedback every turn, and it was too much. So that's when we came up with the idea of these sounds, so that rather than, you know if that was a good turn or not, rather than having the word, because you can hear a sound much quicker, or a sound can be much more compact than a sentence or even a word. So the sounds are basically one way that we try to deal with, you know, the difficulty that you're moving out in the outdoors and there's, you know, a lot happening, and you just need a kind of simple positive or negative. Then every few turns, we will give some feedback if it's relevant, that's a little bit more detailed. And we try and base that on what the instructor would say. it's interesting you bring up, because one of the big things you have to think about a lot is when you're making the product is you have to think, okay, we need, what is the person doing at any one point in time? Are they waiting for their friends? Are they on a lift? And you only want to give feedback at certain, as you're seeing. So one of the first steps we did is we had to come up with this idea of working out what you're doing. So we know if you're skiing, we know if you just started off, we know if you're at a lift, we know which lift you're on, we know which piece you're on. And we have to take all those pieces of data to make sure we're giving you better feedback. And obviously, yeah, it's something we're always trying to improve. And as we kind of put more data in, as more people ski with carve, and we kind of use that to actually improve the overall product.
Jamie, we've been doing this program for 6 years. I don't think I've ever heard Lynn curse before. So... But
you ought to hear me go with Siri.
Oh yeah. Well, I like the idea of the sounds because they're using that successfully in car navigation systems. Like right before you turn, they don't say turn here. You know the turn's coming up, but it gives you that boop boop or you know some kind of sound depending upon the navigation system when that turn you know is required, and you don't have to be looking down at the screen. I think that works out pretty good. So I think the sounds work out well because people will understand a certain sound that they're laying back too much or they might be sliding and you know that sort of thing. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's a lot of studies on gaming psychology about when someone does an action and then the time period that you need to wait before you give them that reinforcement for that action. And that's what we think a lot about is that sort of gaming psychology and the timing of it. But yeah, essentially once you have these good and bad sounds and that kind of conditions you into knowing what a good and bad turn is, and then as you progress to the levels, it converges basically, so it keeps improving your technique.
Yeah, boy, testament to that sort of thing. I mean, I would imagine a lot of people of our generation don't know about the gaming sounds, but for example, on language learning sites, and well, like you said, John, in the car, I've been trying out Duolingo.com, and it's for language learning, and they give you those little sounds when you've done something well or when you answer correctly, and it is very, very motivational, and it makes it fun. You want to continue. So another couple things that we might mention, it's got about 30 hours of active battery life. Of course, it's waterproof. And I assume our listeners have picked this up, that it's Bluetooth. You have your smartphone in your pocket, and that's how you get the data at the end of the run or at the end of the day. And then, Jamie, I'm wondering how in the U.S., we find this. I know you're a big presence in Europe, but how does someone go and purchase this?
Yes, if you just go to getcarve.com, GETCARV.com, and then, yeah, you can read more about the product and you can also have the chance to buy it. It's, as I say, we're currently only available online and through the website.
Excellent. So we might just say, Jamie, that, you know, if you need someone to test this out in Park City, considering that John and I have not yet perfected the art of skiing, we might be good candidates. Right, John?
We would be.
So, well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, Jamie. Thanks for all of the great information. It's fascinating technology. Again, it's getcarve.com, and we'll post that link on our website. Jamie Grant, thanks for joining us today.
Lovely to speak to you, babe. Thank you.
All right. Take care.